Investigations are ongoing into the death of 54-year-old Burlington resident Douglas Kilburn, who died in March, just a few days after he was in an altercation with a city police officer. In that encounter, Kilburn was punched in the face by Officer Corey Campbell outside UVM Medical Center. 7 Days reporter Derek Brower has been closely following this story, and he's here to bring us up to speed on several updates that have been uncovered in the 2 weeks since Douglas Kilburn's death certificate was released. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Henry. How are you?
Good. So Vermont's chief medical examiner releases Kilburn's death certificate on April 11th, and he determines that the manner of Kilburn's death was a homicide, with several factors contributing, including skull fractures from a blunt impact. But you reported that Burlington officials had tried to change that homicide classification. What did you find?
Our reporting has indicated that city officials got a heads up that from the state medical examiner that this was going to be ruled a homicide. And in the lead up to the public release of that finding, contacted state officials up to the governor's office expressing concerns about the medical examiner's work and sort of an implicit ask to reconsider the finding. That happened in two ways. The police chief, Brandon Del Pozo, first reached out in a lengthy, pretty detailed email to the health commissioner, Mark Levine, in which he noted that the chief had done some of his own research into medical examiner's autopsy reports, and the people he had said he talked to indicated to him that the work was questionable and the finding was questionable. He also indicated in that email that he had been in discussions with the mayor's office about the issue as well. And in fact, as we later learned through some records requests, Mayor Moreau Weinberger's office reached out to Governor Phil Scott's team on the morning before that finding was released, asking them to call them. So in a sense, they were seeking to delay release of the finding until they could make their case to the governor.
And how did Scott's office respond to that?
They did not take kindly to the request. Some internal emails showed top state officials saying things along the lines of this doesn't feel right. And Tom Anderson, the commissioner of public safety, had mentioned to the governor's office that this was not the first time during this case that they had had some issues with Del Pozo inserting himself. That was their language, and he considered it completely inappropriate. So Phil Scott's chief of staff, Jason Gibbs, sent a letter or an email back to the mayor's office, sort of warning them to stay out of this.
And how have Burlington's police chief, Brandon Del Pozo, and Mayor Mara Weinberger defended their actions in involving themselves in this process?
They maintain that they were not seeking to politically influence this medical finding, but rather were asking legitimate questions and trying to ensure that the information that was released publicly was accurate. What is clear from our reporting and from some of the records we have is that once city officials learned that this homicide finding was going to be released. And to be clear, homicide finding on a death certificate does not say anything about whether the officer's actions were appropriate or not. It just indicates that they contributed to Kilburn's death. However, city officials were quite worried that this was going to create a sensationalized news cycle about what had happened and looked for ways to mediate that.
Mm-hmm. You've also reported that Officer Corey Campbell, who is involved in this altercation, wants to see a footage of the incident before he sits for an interview with state police who are investigating this. How is he going about trying to get that footage?
He's trying to get the footage by suing in state court through a public records lawsuit against the police department and the city, who are the custodians of the body cam footage. What's interesting to me about it is that it's playing out as a public records lawsuit rather than a policy question.
And finally, Derek, you've reported more details just this week on Douglas Kilburn's physical state in the days before he died. What did you learn from his sister this week?
I had reached out to his sister earlier, but she took a while to get back to me, and she explained that she did because she felt like, and I'm summarizing here, but I think she and some other family members felt like the version of events that had been described by police were sanitized. And she shared a photo with me that she took of her brother in the hospital, in which you can see the extent of his injuries on his face. She explained that he had his fractures, which had been described by the chief as small skull fractures, included a fracture to his eye socket that apparently had some surgery scheduled to stabilize it, as well as a jaw that was broken. She also explained to me that her brother was in poor physical health at the time of the altercation. He's, of course, accused of punching Officer Campbell first and initiating this altercation, and was accused of being irate and disorderly at the time. But according to his sister and according to his uncle, who I've also spoken with, he had suffered from diabetes as well as a recent stroke that had left him with several toes amputated. So he walked with a limp, and he had limited use of the left side of his body from the stroke, including his left arm. He was been out of work for years and was on disability and had a handicap tag on his car. So he was not exactly, you know, a physical specimen to be in a fist fight.
That's Derek Brower, reporter at 7 Days. Derek, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on this story.
Thanks, Henry.